Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up into heaven, after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes in a cloud, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, the Sabbath day walk from the city. The second reading today comes from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, the Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own languages." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Thus ends the reading of the word. In case you are just joining us today, we have been reading the Bible in story form, and all throughout we have seen countless ways where God meets us in our humblest moments and gives us strength and guidance. He does so because of the covenant he made with Abraham so long ago. He knew from Abraham's willingness to sacrifice his own son that he was devoted to God in the purest and truest way. So, with this covenant that God made, all of Abraham's descendants throughout all of time would have the chance to experience God in a real and powerful way. But what does it mean to experience God in a real and powerful way? Moses, if you remember, experienced God in a real and powerful way in the form of a burning bush and the presence of the I Am. David felt God in a powerful way when he faced Goliath and won. The Israelite people felt God in a powerful way when they were brought out of the exile by Cyrus, the king of Persia. Most importantly, though, we have all felt God powerfully through the life of Jesus Christ. Mike reminded us last week about the power that stands behind Jesus on the cross. We can know with full assurance that our sins have been washed clean because of Jesus' death. Jesus was sacrificed so that our sin that separated us from God was absolved. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we can know God again in that real and powerful way that he desires. Our question, though, is how do we experience God in a real and powerful way? Sure, the biblical characters can experience God, But we, as continual believers in Christ, are also looking for ways to experience God and God's covenant with us. We want to feel that whooshing feeling of God in our midst. We long to be overpowered by a sense of the Holy Spirit in our presence. My friend Megan and I have had a conversation very much about this desire. She doesn't know what she's looking for from God. She told me one day that she wonders whether people can really feel and experience God at all. She says that she, even though she wants to know God in a personal way and she prays hard, she never feels that awe of God in her midst moment. She told me that she attends church every Sunday. She volunteers for vacation Bible school. She teaches middle school Sunday school. She even attends a weekly Bible study to help her get as close to God as humanly possible. None of it, though, gives her the answer she's looking for. I have a feeling that the people of Jerusalem were feeling much the same way in Acts right before Jesus ascends to heaven. Jesus tells them to stay put, continue what they're doing, and wait for the Holy Spirit. God will meet them in a powerful way through the Holy Spirit and remain with them until Jesus comes again. They're probably something like Megan, thinking they have followed Jesus' every command, have spread the gospel, and have already suffered the death of Jesus once. Now they are told to wait for the presence of God as they grieve the loss of Jesus and companion again. They are looking for ways to experience God powerfully, to feel the presence of God the way they did when Jesus was still walking with them, teaching them about the kingdom of God. They need something to sustain them until Jesus comes again. Megan needs something to sustain her and remind her of God's eternal presence until Jesus comes again. They all need to remember and experience the sustaining power of the Holy Spirit as it steps in as the third part of the Trinity. It is the peace of the Trinity called to be with the people throughout all of time, reminding us of God in our midst. We know this is true because the Holy Spirit was with Moses and the exiled people. The Holy Spirit was with David and Abraham. The Holy Spirit has sustained the community of believers in extraordinary ways. This is the beautiful piece of Acts today, because it shows us that Jesus wants to remind us of the presence of the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, as he leads us and ascends to heaven. Jesus tells us that in order to be sustained by the Holy Spirit, we must be ready to receive it in whatever way it chooses to meet us. What the people of Jerusalem were not counting on is how the Holy Spirit was going to meet them. As the Jerusalem people are abiding by Jesus' command to stay in Jerusalem and wait faithfully for a sign from God, they continue to follow Jewish law and religious custom by attending the festival of Pentecost. Pentecost for the Jewish people was a celebration of a spring grain harvest and a thanksgiving for God remaining with them through Passover. It was at this festival where everyone was gathered that the Holy Spirit appeared in a magnificent way. A tongue from heaven, divided like that of a fire, came down and touched everyone who was celebrating. They all began suddenly speaking in different languages, and a crowd gathered in awe and wonder of what was going on. The strangest part of all was that as people began to gather to see what had happened, each person heard their own unique native language being spoken. Each person heard something that no one else could hear. They were able to experience the Holy Spirit in an individual, unique way. The Holy Spirit used one person, speaking in a way different from everyone else, to speak to one other person. This act of God as a divided tongue from heaven was the birth of the Christian church as we know it. It is what unites us under Jesus, because it is the fulfillment of what Jesus told us to wait for. We were to wait for something powerful to step in and remind us that God was with us in that covenanted relationship promised to us so long ago. This is how people experienced God in a real and powerful way. It is through the presence of the Holy Spirit, sent as a piece of God to remain on earth, sustaining us. It is this moment in time, this birth of our Christian church, that we celebrate today with red flames, reminding us of the tongue of divided fire. We stop on Pentecost to remember the ever-present and ever-moving act of God in the midst of our communities. If you remember what I said a moment ago, you'll hear me say again that it is through the mouths of others that we truly experience the Holy Spirit. We have to be a part of a community where we can listen for our language spoken by another to understand Jesus' message and the movement of the Holy Spirit most closely. It is through this movement of community that we welcome new members and promise to partner with them in their experience of God and the Holy Spirit. This is what my friend Megan was missing. She was doing and doing for the church, but was missing the Holy Spirit because she wasn't looking for it in the community that God gave her. This community at Shepherd of the Hills is incredible at speaking out to the needs of others. We host IHN. We love and teach our children. We grow in thought and worship. This is a community where the Holy Spirit is visible. It is even visible when you least expect it. Imagine how much of an impact you have on someone who's visiting the church this Sunday and you just say hi. Just knowing who they are and validating that they matter in this community makes a difference. It's a matter of recognizing the Holy Spirit in our midst and sustaining those sitting around us. The Holy Spirit chooses to use community to teach us, love us, and hold us. The most powerful way we experience community, though, and the call of the Holy Spirit is through the sacrament of baptism. I don't know if you know this or not, but this morning there's actually a baptism happening. I'm sure there are many around the world, but I'm going to tell you about one in particular. One of my good friends, a fellow seminarian, is baptizing his own baby girl this morning. She, through the community of faith and the sustaining power of the Holy Spirit, will be washed of the sins of humanity and born into a community that promises to love her and to teach her. They promise to support her and encourage her. They promise to help raise her in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They promise to be a body who will immerse her in the sustaining love of the Holy Spirit. She becomes a part of the covenant of God today. We at Shepherd of the Hills, though, are not as far from that commitment as we think we are. We vow as members of the same body of Christ to raise this little girl. We are members of one body of God, of one people of God, standing beside every last child to remind each of them and ourselves that we have been baptized into this community too. We are baptized in order to be sustained in the relationship with God that was covenanted to us so long ago. This is why we gather. Baptism is why we gather. Holy Spirit is why we gather. We welcome this little girl and continue welcoming our neighbor to the sustaining feast of the Holy Spirit. We praise God for her and for each other as true examples that the Holy Spirit exists and thrives. This is what Jesus means by being baptized first by water and then by the Holy Spirit. He is using the Jerusalem people's baptism as a way of reminding them that their pain will not go unnoticed. They will not be left alone. He reminds them, as he reminds us, that it takes the act of pouring the water to wash away the sins, but it takes the action of a community to make a way for the Holy Spirit to live in and for that baptized person, for all baptized people. This definition of community is what it means to experience God in a real and powerful way. That's the beauty of this Acts passage this morning. While God created us and Jesus redeemed us, the Holy Spirit sustains us through each other and through the gifts we share with one another. This is a Holy Spirit-filled place. Take a moment and look at your neighbor. Go ahead, look at your neighbor. That person sitting next to you is a child of God, called into this community to sustain their neighbor by the reminder of the Holy Spirit. Be thankful that every person in this room is waiting patiently to experience the Holy Spirit with you, to speak the language that only you can hear. The Holy Spirit provides for the necessity of our lives, holds us in place from below, provides us with emotional and moral support, and above all, confirms that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is valid and true. The covenant that God made with humanity still exists and continues on through the work of the Holy Spirit. We stand in wonder at the Holy Spirit, who is the sustainer through the gift of one another. Amen.
Would you please pray with me? Holy and loving God, we thank you so much. And we live in the promise of your Holy Spirit not coming, but your Holy Spirit here with us today. We thank you that that the presence of your Spirit is so visible. That they're not just words. It's an indwelling deeply of knowing that you are with us all the time. And God, as we are your people, we want to be not only your resurrection people, but we want to be your people that are filled with your Spirit. Lord, we ask that we would open ourselves up to you, that you might deeply, deeply not just be with us, but that you would fill us, that our lives would be changed, and that we would begin to look more and more like you every single day. We pray this with the prayer your Son taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.